This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Monday, May 6th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
As some colleges begin commencement ceremonies, pro-Palestinian protests continue. I'm John Stolness.
Recent polls show the presidential rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump will be another tight race. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Homes and cars flooded near Houston, Texas.
All we're doing right now is trying to see what we can salvage.
I'm Julie Walker.
I'm not retracting anything.
Governor Kristi Noem once again defends killing her dog. I'm Pamela Furr.
On Wall Street, some investors hope the recent pullback was just a little reset inside a bull market. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
A tragic end to what was supposed to be a surfing trip in Mexico. I'm Clayton Neville.
The latest lawsuit stemming from the Hawaii wildfires, this one against cell phone companies. All ahead on America in the Morning. Unrest continues on a handful of college campuses as one major university's commencement was interrupted by pro-Palestinian protesters, and other colleges brace for potential problems too. John Stolness has the latest.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you could please draw your attention back to the podium.
U.S. Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro delivering the University of Michigan's commencement speech this weekend, interrupted multiple times by pro-Palestinian protesters in caps and gowns walking through the graduating class. Around 50 people were protesting, no one was arrested, and the commencement, attended by tens of thousands of people, was not seriously disrupted. At the University of Southern California, protesters were ousted by police from an encampment early Sunday morning. Nicholas Corral is a student there.
As far as I saw, we didn't see any arrests, whereas on that Wednesday, protesters were surrendering peacefully to LAPD to be arrested. In this case, when the order to disperse was given, they walked up Truesdale Parkway up to the exit, chanting, you know, making their opinions heard, but they were not being arrested tonight.
At Boston's Fenway Park, Northeastern University's commencement went off peacefully. Last month, about 100 protesters were arrested at that school. And an ugly incident at the University of Mississippi as a white counter protester appeared to make monkey noises and gestures at a black protester, all caught on camera. Republican Congressman Mike Collins posted a message on X on Friday showing a picture of the confrontation saying, quote, "Ole Miss taking care of business," with a link to the video. No comment from Congressman Collins' office as of yet. Lawmakers reacted on the Sunday morning shows. Republican Senator Tom Cotton on ABC's This Week says many of the protesters are worthy of contempt.
They also deserve our mockery. I mean, they're out there in their N95 masks in the open air. With their gluten allergies, demanding that Uber Eats get delivered to them.
Former Senator, now University of Florida President Ben Sasse on CNN's State of the Union, says their school has walked the line between free speech and allowing protesters to take over campus.
We have rules, and one of those rules is we don't allow camping on campus. And so you can't start to build an encampment. But our goal is not to arrest people. It's to help them get into compliance with the rules. They can protest, they can try to persuade people, but they don't get to build a camp. Nobody else does either.
So far, the Associated Press estimates about 2,500 people have been arrested at around 50 campuses since April 18th. I'm John Stolness.
The 2024 election is now just 6 months away, and as correspondent Jackie Quinn reports, the presidential race is tight despite concerning poll numbers for President Biden and legal entanglements for Donald Trump.
After a weekend meeting of Republican donors in Florida, Republican Senator Tim Scott was asked on NBC's Meet the Press if he's been approached to be a running mate with Donald Trump.
No conversations about the VP pick, to be honest with you, to be clear. But we had a lot of conversations about the failures of Joe Biden and the success of Donald Trump.
The economy, he says, is the key issue. So is immigration and abortion.
I imagine we're going to see the president and the vice president back here again, telling the story about what this administration has done and the option of Donald Trump, who again wants to take our country backwards.
Arizona Democrat Senator Mark Kelly says will be a key factor in his state. He blames Donald Trump for women's rights being rolled back.
And it all goes back to Donald Trump's election and what he said he wants to do to Roe v. Wade. He recently said he broke it. This is all on him. That women in the state of Arizona don't have the rights that they previously had. women cannot get the health care they need in this state right now.
Only about 20% of voters in a recent AP NORC poll said they would be excited if either Biden or Trump returned to the White House.
One thing that is crystal clear, that the American people now having a contrast between 4 years of Joe Biden versus 4 years of Donald Trump, they're really excited to get back to the Trump years. And so I expect the election to be fair, and I expect Donald Trump to be our next president.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
Houston flooding update and Governor Noem, truth be told. America in the Morning's back after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is America in the Morning. There are still flood advisories out for areas of southern Texas. Here's today's forecast with AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy. Matt?
Spring thunderstorms will continue to pack a wall up as we start off the first full week of May. Once again, the Central Plains will be the target for this activity as a storm moves out of the Rockies this afternoon and into South Dakota, with the associated cold front extending well to the south into North Texas. These storms will start out isolated in central Nebraska, southward to North Texas, and then increase in coverage moving eastward into Oklahoma, eastern Kansas, and eastern Nebraska late today, and then shifting into Iowa, Missouri, and western Arkansas tonight. These storms will have the potential to cause very heavy rainfall, significant wind damage, large hail, and tornadoes. This same storm will also produce a little snow for the central Rockies, with steadier rain farther north through the Dakotas into Montana. Another system moving through the southeast will lead to widespread showers and thunderstorms from Indiana to Mississippi, and then eastward to Georgia, up through Virginia and Maryland. And we'll also have a few showers forming farther north along a lingering cold front through New Jersey into eastern Pennsylvania, as well as parts of New England. Yet another feature will be moving onshore in the northwest, with a steadier rain along the coast of Washington and Oregon, and showers forming inland through the eastern parts of each state and then into Idaho. And then colder air will lead to some snow in the Cascades, especially later in the day and at night, with several inches possible. That's the weather across America. It'll be another cool day in Twins Falls, Idaho, with mostly cloudy skies and a couple of showers and a high of 52. Macon, Georgia will have a warm and humid day with a mixture of clouds and sun and a high of 85. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Many schools in the Houston area will be closed today following a deluge of rain that found first responders rescuing hundreds from rising floodwaters. Correspondent Julie Walker reports one child died after being swept away in the flooding after more than 20 inches of rain fell.
Homes and cars flooded near Houston, Texas. Residents like Cynthia Robinson stranded, needing rescue.
Devastated. I just buried my mom Sunday, and it's just overwhelming. It's too much.
KTRK-TV with her when she found out her brother survived the flooding. They also spoke with resident Jamie Hill, whose home took on 3 feet of water.
It's a lot to take in. All we're doing right now is trying to see what we can salvage.
And the forecast, more rain, according to Haley Adams, meteorologist, National Weather Service.
We're seeing 1 to 3 inches of rain on average. We could have some isolated areas of 4 to 8 inches possible.
She says over the last week, areas northeast of Houston got up to 20 inches of rain. I'm Julie Walker.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem says she wants the truth to be told, but cannot defend at least one untruth found in her upcoming book. Pamela Furr explains.
Appearing on Sunday's Face the Nation on CBS, Noem once again defended the killing of her young dog years ago.
I'm not retracting anything.
Okay.
I'm not retracting anything.
Even going so far as to say in the book that she'd make sure President Biden's dog, Commander, was nowhere to be found if she made it to the White House.
Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog?
But another story in the memoir is raising some eyebrows. A meeting, she writes, that she had while she was in Congress with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Turns out, it's not true.
This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book. And as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted. So the book is not released until Tuesday. And so we're doing all that we can to make sure that those changes are made.
According to CBS, the book's publisher has confirmed the anecdote would be removed upon reprint of the print edition and as soon as technically possible in the audio and ebook editions. I'm Pamela Furr.
Rise in value for coffee makers. Stock grinds to a halt. That and more when America in the Morning continues after these messages. America in the Morning continues. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments has a team of specialists in investing, financial planning, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. With Monday Business, CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after a winning week and a Friday rally for stocks after a solid jobs report and falling bond yields. The Dow on Friday was up 450 points. The S&P 500 index was up 53. That was more than 1%.
Everything's working along the way to keep this a routine pullback within a bull market. We're 5 weeks into it. We had a 5% pullback. We're about half of that back.
CNBC's Mike Santoli. Investors are hoping the Fed may soon consider an interest rate cut as the economy seems to be doing what it wants, slowing, but without a job-crushing recession. 175,000 jobs were created last month, fewer than forecast, but strong.
This looked to me like a Goldilocks report. I'm not at all surprised about how happy the market is. If we have 170,000 jobs a month for the rest of time, a 3.9% unemployment rate for the rest of time, and inflation comes down, you know, I think we'd all be thrilled out of our minds.
Harvard economist Jason Furman on CNBC. Apple shares opened this morning after their best day in about a year and a half on Friday. It announced the largest ever corporate stock buyback, $110 billion. When companies buy back their shares, there are fewer out there for the public to buy, so it pushes share prices higher. Teen retailer Rue 21 has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It's closing all of its more than 500 stores. Reuters says it's set to hold large going-out-of-business sales. That's according to bankruptcy court documents. Now, this comes just weeks after the mall retailer Express filed for Chapter 11. Joann Fabrics filed in March, although it's expected to stay open. The Body Shop, which is based in the UK, says it's in the process of closing all of its American stores as it's been struggling.
Investors may be finding the Starbucks stock a little hard to swallow.
Well, you may grab that Starbucks this morning, but a lot of people are staying away from the stock. The company's lost a third of its value in the last 12 months. It reported disappointing quarterly results again last week. Some investors are just staying clear.
Starbucks used to be the end-all be-all for to-go quality coffee. There weren't a lot of competitors. Now you have Dunkin' that's focusing more on coffee. McDonald's has a huge coffee brand. And then you have smaller brands like Dutch Bros, and then you have Tim Hortons moving more into here. How do you grow money here if your consumer can't pay more for coffee? And there is a lot of competition at reasonable prices. For me, I just can't do it.
G-Squared's Victoria Green on CNBC. On today's watch list, we get earnings from Tyson Foods, Spirit Airlines, Coty, and Lucid Group. Today, it's quiet for economic reports. The whole week kind of is, too. But we do get the latest on consumer credit as people take on more debt. Also coming this week, the latest on consumer sentiment.
Thank you for those sentiments. CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. When we return on America in the Morning, mounting lawsuits in the Hawaii wildfire incident. Back after these messages. You're with America in the Morning. A U.S. citizen is believed to be among the dead after three bodies are found in a well in Mexico. Correspondent Clayton Neville has the story.
30-year-old Jack Carter Rode lived in San Diego. He met up with his buddies from Australia, brothers Callum and Jake Robinson, at Coachella before going on what was supposed to be a surfing trip of a lifetime along the coast in Mexico. Callum Robinson was a college lacrosse star. And when the three didn't show up to where they were supposed to stay, they were reported missing. Bodies later discovered by Mexican authorities in a remote well, now believed to be that of Rode and the Robinsons. Investigators believe the men were robbed and tried to fight back. When their truck was being stolen, they were then shot and killed. Three suspects now in custody. I'm Clayton Neville.
A number of lawsuits have been filed in Maui, Hawaii, as a result of last year's deadly wildfires, the latest submitted by the County of Maui against major cell phone carriers. Correspondent Donna Warder explains.
Maui County officials say that had emergency responders known that there were widespread cell phone outages during last summer's deadly wildfires, they would have used other methods to warn residents about the dangers, such as activating sirens. The county has filed a lawsuit against Verizon Wireless, T-Mobile USA, Spectrum Mobile, and AT&T, saying that the more than a dozen cell phone alerts it sent residents were never received, and that cellular carriers were negligent in failing to properly inform Maui police of the outages. The deadliest U.S. wildfire in more than a century ripped through the town of Lahaina, killing 101 people. Spectrum has declined to comment about the lawsuit. The other carriers didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Donna Warder.
America in the Morning for Monday, May 6th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Our senior producer, Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour.
Weekend escalation has many wondering what's next in the Middle East. I'm Clayton Neville.
Jewish students are reporting violence, anti-Semitic comments, and signs on their college campuses. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Police in New York say weekend threats to synagogues as well as the Brooklyn Museum are unfounded. Julie Walker, New York.
What led to a 14-year-old to want to shoot up his school and putting the pieces back together in Maine?
Nostalgia both struggled and scored at the box office this weekend. I'm Kevin Carr.
New data will be broadcast in three dimensions. No special glasses required. I'm Chuck Palm.
Airbnb is offering stays at some unique locations. I'm Ed Donahue.
Back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. It is the month of May, and we're still talking snow. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
Yet another feature will be moving onshore in the northwest with a steadier rain along the coast of Washington and Oregon and showers forming inland through the eastern parts of each state and continuing into Idaho. Colder air will also lead to some snow in the Cascades, especially later in the day and at night. Several inches of snow will be possible by Tuesday morning. The rest of the west will be largely dry with sunshine, with most highs a little bit below the historical average in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Spring severe thunderstorms will continue to be a major concern as we start off this first full week of May. Once again, the Central Plains will be the target for this activity as an area of low pressure moves out of the Rockies this afternoon and continues into South Dakota. The associated cold front will extend far to the south into northern Texas. These storms will start out isolated in central Nebraska, southward to north Texas, and then increase in coverage moving eastward into Oklahoma, eastern Kansas, and eastern Nebraska late today, and then shifting into Iowa, Missouri, and western Arkansas tonight. These storms will have the potential to cause very heavy rainfall, significant wind damage, and tornadoes. This same storm will also produce a little snow in the central Rockies with steadier rain farther north through the Dakotas into Montana. Another system through the southeast will lead to widespread showers and thunderstorms from Indiana into Mississippi and then eastward to Georgia, up through Virginia and Maryland. A few showers will also form along a lingering cold front through parts of New Jersey into eastern Pennsylvania, as well as New England. Farther west, the Great Lakes is looking at a dry day with a good amount of sunshine and highs in the 60s and 70s. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Attack on Israel at a humanitarian crossing into Gaza is impacting the flow of aid to the Palestinian enclave as the Israel-Hamas war rages on. Correspondent Clayton Neville has the latest on events in the Middle East.
Israel closed the Kerem Shalom border crossing to humanitarian trucks after being hit by airstrikes Sunday morning. Israeli officials say that in recent days, Hamas has been stopping people in Gaza from getting aid and disrupting the help traveling from southern to northern Gaza. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio believes it's important to highlight what Hamas is doing and blames President Biden for not doing enough of that. Rubio spoke with Fox News Sunday.
We are on Israel's side. They are the good guys in this fight, and Hamas are the evil ones. And these terrible civilian casualties that are happening is because Hamas is using them as human shields.
Global leaders say the human rights violations in the Middle East are happening consistently.
There are many tools that the U.S. has in order to compel Israel to do the right thing. And I think for the sake of our world, the U.S. may be Israel's most closest ally, but a good friend holds a friend accountable.
The Queen of Jordan, Rania Al-Abdullah, spoke with CBS's Face the Nation.
When October 7th happened, the world rightfully condemned it and took strong action and strong positions. We are outraged that this same is not happening when Palestinians are getting killed. And so there is a sense of the selective application of humanitarian law and a sense of unfairness, a sense of our lives don't matter as much.
As far as what's next, Israel says it won't back down. Recent negotiations in Cairo seemingly fell flat after Hamas demanded a ceasefire in exchange for hostages. Israel refused. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that his country is willing to go a long way, but that a withdrawal from Gaza just isn't going to happen. Meanwhile, Jews around the world acknowledged Holocaust Remembrance Day over the weekend. This IDF commander says that concerns experienced in the 1930s are very much playing out right now.
We remember. We are remembering now. And it's not with for a lot of time. 8 years, it's nothing in history. We remember now what the bad thing in the world, what they can do, what they did to our people. And you know, it's my grandma, my grandpa, all of my family.
As another week begins in Washington, President Biden set to discuss what's happening in the Middle East with the King of Jordan. He's at the White House today. I'm Clayton Neville.
As protests continue on college campuses across America, some university organizations are holding events to show support for Jewish students in the face of the anti-Israel encampments. Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports that Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, speaking on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos, says what's happening on college campuses is students and groups spreading hate against Jews, and schools must do more to protect students.
Thousands of students who are setting up these little Gazas all across America engage in hate speech against Jews, assaulting Jews, disobeying the law, and some fictional encampment that's spreading Islamophobia.
At UCLA,
freedom of speech and freedom to peacefully protest are fundamental pillars of our democracy. But violence, harassment, and intimidation are not free speech and have no place on campus or anywhere. Simply stated, we failed our Jewish students this week.
The American Jewish Committee's Richard Hirschhout on KABC-TV says Jewish students have been facing intimidation and harassment by some pro-Palestinian demonstrators at UCLA. One incident, he says, got violent even with security present.
This is not Vienna of 1938.
And it's different from the 60s Vietnam demonstrations.
Students weren't targeting their fellow students back then. What do we still have to learn? how to disagree civilly, how to think critically, and how to hold to account those who harassed and intimidated, defiled and defaced Royce Hall, and who turned their fellow Bruins into objects of scorn, discrimination, and hate.
Student Gabby Lazary is with the group Bruins for Israel and says anti-Zionist sentiment is hurtful.
When you completely deny me access to my homeland and you call for the eradication of my homeland, then you are calling for the eradication of the state of Israel and you are calling for the eradication of the Jewish people.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
In the face of threats being made against houses of worship, more federal funding is becoming available for security after synagogues and mosques report hateful actions. Correspondent Julie Walker reports.
Officials and police in New York say weekend threats to synagogues as well as the Brooklyn Museum are unfounded. Still, Senator Chuck Schumer says the Israel-Hamas war shows a need for extra security.
This is a persistent cascade of intolerance and even violence. And the state of hate has become a boiling point.
He says $400 million in federal funding is available for any house of worship, not just synagogues, to apply.
The grant is a great grant. It allows you to put in cameras so you can detect who might do something to your synagogue. Fences, strong windows, and 2 years ago we modified it so you can actually hire personnel. You can hire security guards as well as get any kind of physical protection you need.
Schumer says so far December had the highest rate of threats to synagogues, 800 nationwide.
The fear and trauma when they have to be evacuated stays with the congregants. And people who go the next day wonder, is it going to happen again? Am I safe? So this is vicious, aimed, of course, at synagogues above all, but also at mosques, at churches, and temples, and it has to stop.
Julie Walker, New York.
When we return on America in the Morning, school shooter not yet old enough to drive, and the latest concept in broadcasting. Those stories and more when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. I'm John Trout. A portion of Interstate 95 reopens today in Connecticut, closed since Thursday after a fiery tanker truck explosion damaged a bridge. Bob Brown has details.
It's a go for the Monday morning commute on I-95 in both directions through Norwalk after a tanker crashed on Thursday, incinerating the bridge. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont posting on X saying it's truly remarkable to complete this work in less than 80 hours. The closure of the bridge forcing hundreds of thousands of commuters to take time-consuming detours. Fox 5 New York talking with some driver.
Man, dude, it took me an hour and a half to get over here. Just here.
Yeah. You don't know how much longer.
Oh, man, from here home, another 3 hours probably.
Well, at least 2 more hours than expected, but...
Where are you moving from?
New York City, so there's no other way, so we're stuck.
I didn't realize I was going to be going like 3.5 hours for 2 miles. Everybody's just fighting each other.
Investigators say a truck swerved to avoid a car and crashed into the tanker truck, dumping thousands of gallons of fuel on the roadway. Meantime, more problems on I-95 after a party bus crashed north of Baltimore, killing one person and injuring nearly 24 people. Authorities say the bus lost control and hit a guardrail early Sunday morning. The cause of the crash is under investigation. Bob Brown, New York.
More is being learned about 14-year-old Damian Hagland, who submitted on online blogs about his hatred for fellow middle school students, including writing, quote, "my last morning," end quote, before police were forced to shoot and kill the armed teen outside his school. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports Wisconsin officials are releasing more information about heading off a potential school shooting.
Schools in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin were locked down.
Police officers from the Mount Horeb Police Department responded to a report of an individual with a weapon outside the middle school.
State Attorney General Josh Call and sound from WKOW.
Police officers responded to that threat and they used deadly force.
Call did not say what type of weapon the suspect had or whether he'd fired it.
The subject in this case never gained entry to the school building during the incident, and the subject was a student in the Mount Horeb School District.
Mount Horeb School District Superintendent Steve Salerno credited new safety precautions.
Vestibules, locked front doors and the like. This could have been a far worse tragedy.
I'm Ben Thomas.
It was just 6 months ago that 18 people were gunned down by a lone shooter in the small town of Lewiston, Maine. And slowly but surely, residents are working to get things back to normal. Correspondent Norman Hall reports on the reopening of the bowling alley, where an evening of celebration turned into a night of bloodshed.
After 6 months, patrons in Lewiston, Maine returned for the reopening of a bowling alley where a gunman killed 8 people in October.
Ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
There is now bright paint, new floors, scenic images, and messages of resilience. Co-owner Samantha Juray.
I think that if we just, like, don't move forward, then there's, not that there was a point to this whole thing anyways, but that we're just going to allow the people that have taken so much from us, like, win.
Lewiston's mayor says the reopening is the town's way of standing back up again. I'm Norman Hall.
Traditional broadcasts are sent on a fixed number of frequencies that are running out of room. With new technology requiring more bandwidth, scientists are about to roll out 3D transmitters to fill the demand. Insight into that technology with our Chuck Palm.
Researchers at the University of Florida have developed a new technique using semiconductor technology to broadcast huge volumes of data worldwide. This highly efficient innovation, featured on the cover of journal Nature Electronics, is poised to transform the landscape of wireless communications at a time when AI is dramatically increasing the demand. Dr. Rubra Tabrizian, heading up the team for the new processors, said the ability to transmit data more efficiently and reliably will open doors to new possibilities, fueling advancements in areas such as smart cities, remote healthcare, and augmented reality. Current broadcast technology exists in two dimensions, whereas the new processors are capable of transmitting on multiple frequencies in three dimensions. With the advent of AI and autonomous devices, increased demand will require additional and different frequencies to move the data where it is intended. Tabrizian also said one chip manufactured for just one frequency doesn't make sense anymore. For more tech news, visit allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
Monday Sports has arrived in for Robert Workman this week, John Stolness.
You know, game sevens are always a treat, and last night we had two of them. First, Donovan Mitchell scored 39 points in helping the Cleveland Cavaliers overcome an 18-point first-half deficit, beating the Orlando Magic 106-94 and avoiding a second straight first-round playoff exit. On the ice, Roddick Faxa broke a one-all tie just seconds into the third period of Dallas's 2-1 Game 7 win over the defending Stanley Cup champion Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Back for Faxa, was in his skates, backhand, he scored! Roddick Faxa, opening minute of the third. He's back in the lineup and the Stars are back in front.
The call courtesy of Bally Sports. Faxa had been out since game two with an undisclosed injury. One other NHL playoff game from last night, the Rangers edged the Hurricanes 4-3 in game one of that second round matchup. On ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball, the Phillies jumped ahead of the Giants early thanks to their superstar, Bryce Harper.
A three-run shot to Harper. That's his seventh, and the Philadelphia Phillies now lead it 4-1.
The call courtesy of ESPN, the Phils hold on to win 5-4. They've got the best record in baseball. In L.A., the Dodgers finished off a sweep of the Braves thanks to four hits and two home runs from Japanese superstar Shohei Ohtani. Later tonight, the Pacers and Knicks begin their East semifinal series, while the defending champion Nuggets take on the Timberwolves in Game 1 out west. And that's your look at sports.
Thank you, John. When we return on America in the Morning, this is not your father's hotel after these messages. We're back. This is America in the Morning. The unofficial start to the summer movie season is underway, and it started with a bit of a fall, Kevin Carr reports.
The summer movie season stumbled a bit coming out of the gate.
I'm just a stunt guy!
The Fall Guy came in below expectations, grossing only $28 million in its opening weekend. With the exception of two COVID years, this is the first non-superhero film to kick off the summer in almost two decades. The Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt action comedy still has a lot of ground to go to cover its hefty $130 million budget.
No offense.
I mean, some taking.
In the number two spot, we have the 25th anniversary re-release of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Anakin Skywalker, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hi.
This infamous prequel got a bump from Star Wars Day on May the 4th, which fell on Saturday. This is the second weekend in a row that saw a decades-old science fiction film make it into the top 10.
May the Force be with you.
Zendaya and her tennis challengers landed in third place with 7.6 million.
This is a game about winning the points that matter.
That's a decent hold, which may have resulted from the Fall Guy skewing heavily to a male audience.
Who's next?
In fourth place was the critically panned horror film Tarot. Unlike recently, horror movies have been struggling at the box office this year.
Kong, Godzilla, they can feel it too.
Finally, Godzilla and Kong continued to duke it out at number 5 with $4.5 million. I'm Kevin Carr.
More in entertainment news this Monday with correspondent Margie Zaraletta.
Actor Kevin Spacey denies new allegations of inappropriate behavior with men, which are outlined in a new documentary called Spacey Unmasked that will stream on Max this week. Spacey tells journalist Dan Wooten in an online interview he's struggling to find work, even though he was acquitted of all criminal charges. Spacey says he takes responsibility for his actions, but he won't apologize for stories that are made up. Actor Michelle Yeoh and talk show host Phil Donahue received the Presidential Medal of Freedom on Friday. President Joe Biden presented the nation's highest civilian honor to Yeoh, Donahue, and 17 others at a White House ceremony. That's Madonna performing in Rio de Janeiro on the final stop of her Celebration Tour on Saturday. It was Madonna's biggest concert ever, with an estimated 1.6 million people at Copacabana Beach. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Just because you travel doesn't mean you need to have to stay in a hotel. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports on some new and in some cases very unusual listings by Airbnb.
There are 11 temporary listings called icons. Airbnb got the idea after seeing the response to a Barbie-themed house in Malibu, California.
Hey, Barbie.
Yeah.
Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure.
On the icons list is an overnight stay at the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, a sleepover at the Ferrari Museum in Italy. A house in Minneapolis owned by Prince will be available for a year. There's a stay at a home in New Mexico, detailed to look like the one from the Disney Pixar movie Up.
So long, boys! I'll send you a postcard from Paradise Bowl!
The Airbnb version doesn't fly. To get these icons, you'll have to fill out a profile, explain why you want one of the listings. Winners will get to book what they want for free or for under $100. I'm Ed Donahue.
America in the Morning for Monday, May 6th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Our senior producer, Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.